From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this update. Senator Lisa Murkowski is speaking out more in opposition to President Trump's emergency declaration to divert money to build a wall on the southern border. Today, in a speech on the Senate floor, she says she agrees with the president on the need for more border security.
But I firmly believe that one can be for border security, strongly for border security, and at the same time question whether the administration has overreached in using the National Emergencies Act in the way that it has. And I find myself in that camp.
Murkowski says the issue is one of separation of powers, and the Constitution gives Congress the power to raise and spend money.
We say it around here, the power of the purse rests with the Congress.
Murkowski has sponsored a measure to overturn the emergency declaration. She's the only member of Alaska's congressional delegation to take that position. With at least four Republicans on board, Democrats in the Senate appear to have enough votes to cancel the president's declaration, but not enough to sustain the resolution if he follows through on his promise to veto it. Supporters of the president say his actions are constitutional because Congress passed the National Emergencies Act, lending its powers of the purse to the president when he decides a situation is dire. And state regulators have rejected a bid by a top official in Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration to hide key details about a second job that paid her more than $200,000 last year. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Nat Hertz has more.
Staff at the Alaska Public Offices Commission this week said that Marianne Pruitt, Dunleavy's contract communications director, is required to disclose the clients of PS Strategies, an advertising and political consulting firm. Pruitt is being paid $15,000 a month, or $185,000 a year, even as she remains the sole owner and president of PS Strategies. Pruitt says she now holds only a minor supervisory role at the company, and Dunleavy administration officials say she will only be on the job temporarily for the state. Pruitt is married to Anchorage Republican Representative Lance Pruitt, and she'd asked for an exemption from Alaska's financial disclosure laws, which are designed to guard against undisclosed conflicts of interest. Pruitt, through an attorney, told the Public Offices Commission that her clients' identities and payments were trade secrets, and that her right to privacy far outweighed the state's interest in transparency. The Public Offices Commission's staff, in a letter yesterday, disagreed. It said there's ample information already about PS Strategies clients that's available online, undercutting the argument that their identities are a trade secret. And because state law allows officials to disclose income from clients within broad ranges rather than identify an exact amount, the company can still safeguard information that would be valuable to competitors, like how much it charges for specific services, the commission says. Given Pruitt's job within the highest state executive office, the commission's letter says, the public has the right to know what ties PS Strategies has with corporate and political entities. Pruitt referred questions to her attorney, Stacy Stone, who declined to comment. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
And state officials are proposing rate increases of between 40% and nearly 140% for residents of Alaska's state-supported elder care facilities. Clinton Lasley is the director of the division overseeing Pioneer Homes. He says to cover proposed budget cuts, the homes are looking at rates in line with the cost to provide services. Critics call the plan unworkable. The current lowest cost option, including housing, food, emergency help, and events, is $2,588 per month. It would be $3,623 monthly under the proposal. The biggest percentage increase would be for elders at the current intermediate tier, with higher staffing needs whose rates could rise nearly 140%. Lasley says elders wouldn't be evicted if they couldn't pay. And a federal judge has dismissed a proposed class action lawsuit filed against multi-level marketing company LuLaRoe for alleged unfair collection of sales taxes. But the decision could still be appealed. KTOO's Matt Miller has a story.
Anchorage resident Katie Van claimed that she was charged sales taxes on clothing purchases, even though Anchorage and Alaska do not collect such taxes. U.S. District Court Judge H. Russell Holland, in his decision issued Friday, determined that Van was not financially injured and therefore did not have standing and could not move ahead with the lawsuit. Holland determined that Van was already refunded over $530 in overcharged sales taxes before the lawsuit was even filed, and she could not claim any damages. The lawsuit was originally filed as a potential class action that would have included all affected Alaskans as potential plaintiffs, but Judge Holland's decision effectively prevents the case from moving ahead, at least for now. James Davis, an attorney for the Northern Justice Project, which filed the lawsuit on behalf of Van, did not return messages seeking comment in time for the story, but he told Law360.com that he thought the judge's ruling was just simply wrong. He also said other companies would never be discouraged from overcharging customers if all they had to do is eventually return the money that they took. Stephen Graham, an attorney representing LuLaRoe, expects the decision to be appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but he anticipates the appellate court will uphold Holland's decision because a similar case was already litigated in Pennsylvania federal court and then dismissed last September. LuLaRoe says a previous version of their sales tax automation software had trouble keeping track of 20,000 different taxing jurisdictions nationwide, but that was fixed. According to court filings, the company then refunded millions of dollars of over-collected sales tax to all their customers. Over $255,000 were returned just to Alaskans. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
And a former jailer in the Sitka Police Department claims that he was defamed and forced to resign from his job after he left a police training program due to injury. Noah Shepherd filed a lawsuit in Sitka Superior Court on February 25th. It's the third lawsuit brought by an employee of the Sitka Police Department in 6 months. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has more.
The case has some elements in common with lawsuits filed by former detectives Ryan Silva and Mary Ferguson, but is really a separate story. Noah Shepherd was hired as a jailer in the Sitka Police Department in 2013. Late last year, he entered the Anchorage Police Academy as a recruit with the objective of returning to Sitka as a patrol officer. Shepherd claims he was near the top of his class academically at the academy when he suffered a broken elbow during physical training. Although he hoped to continue at the academy, Shepherd claims he was withdrawn on the advice of Sitka Police Lieutenant Lance Ewers, whom he argues was obstructionist toward his attending the academy from the first. On returning to Sitka, Shepherd claims he was branded as a homesick quitter, and as a result of this alleged slander and hostile work environment, he resigned from the department in January. He filed suit on February 25th and appeared before the Sitka Assembly the following evening under persons to be heard.
The entire purpose of my lawsuit is to instigate an investigation on behalf of whatever body is able to cause that to happen. I don't want the money from the city.
Shepherd names Lieutenant Ewers and the city of Sitka as co-defendants. Assembly members had not had a chance to see Shepherd's brief prior to the meeting. Municipal Attorney Brian Hansen reminded members that the city had a formal grievance process. Shepherd, however, said it had failed.
I did try to go through proper avenues. Immediately upon being slandered, I brought those issues to Chief Ankerfeldt. You'll read this in that lawsuit. Not only did he dismiss them without any regard, he threatened to retaliate against the employees who told me of the slander. Okay, so that's the type of environment, that's the type of hostile impact this administration has had on these employees.
Shepherd's suit joins those brought in October 2018 by former Detective Mary Ferguson and the previous August by former Detective Ryan Silva. All three plaintiffs are represented by the Anchorage-based Northern Justice Project. In his case, Silva argues that he was demoted and emotionally abused for blowing the whistle on the improper procurement of automatic weapons in the department. Ferguson's is a sexual harassment and discrimination suit. Both name Sitka Police Chief Jeff Ankerfeldt and the city of Sitka as co-defendants. Ferguson was in the audience when Shepherd brought his case to the assembly. She also took a turn at the microphone.
If nobody else comes up to speak, I don't blame them because I would be afraid too. But since I'm already knee-deep in this to make a change in the police department, I don't feel like I need to hide behind anything.
A trial in Ferguson's suit has been set for March 2020. Ryan Silva's will go to trial in September 2019. In both cases, the city has denied all allegations. The city has 30 days to file a reply to Noah Shepherd's suit. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of tonight, clear, lows around 10. For tomorrow, sunny and highs around 40. And tomorrow night, clear, lows around 15. For Thursday, sunny, highs in the mid-30s. And for Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 20.